This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the morning run, and you're here with Wong Xiaoning and Roshan Kunnison. It has just gone, or it's going to go, it's going to be 7:06 very shortly. It is Monday, the 21st of December. And as in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Sarina Che Omar, Senior Research Associate at the Khazanah Research Institute on Agriculture in Malaysia. But before that, let's take a look at how markets closed on Friday. What was the scene like, Roshan?
Xiaoning, no one told them it's supposed to be the Christmas spirit. It was a sea of red. There was no green there. Get the message, guys. We want a mix of red and green. So Japan, Asia, all red. Japan was down 0.2%. Hong Kong down 0.7%. Shanghai was in the red, 0.3%. Closer to home, Singapore was down 0.3%. KLCI was down 1.3% at the close on Friday. If we take a look at how markets closed, the U.S. markets closed on Saturday morning, our time. The Dow was the Dow and S&P were both down 0.4%, and the Nasdaq was slightly behind. It was down 0.1% at the close.
Yeah, clearly not such a good day for global markets. But to tell us where global markets perhaps are heading, we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global in Sydney. Now, first of all, dozens of Chinese companies were blacklisted over the weekend by the US, including prominent chip maker SMIC. Do you expect markets to be volatile this week because of that event? And do you see any retaliation from China?
Look, I think they'll certainly be volatile. SMIC is, of course, China's leading chip maker and fabrication company. And with this ban, they're certainly going to experience more difficulty. But this has been on the cards for some time. I think the retaliation, such as it may be, is really going to be around a redoubling of efforts in China around their Made in China 2025 strategy for technology independence. So I think that from the US point of view, this is unlikely to have their intended goal. If anything, this is going to accelerate the Chinese efforts to become independent of US tech. And we're also seeing knock-on effects in Europe and Taiwan, where their companies have been prevented by the US State Department from exporting equipment that's covered or contains some US technology. So in both places, Taiwan and Europe, they're now trying to remove the dependence on US technology from their own firms.
And staying on the US-China trade tensions, right, Chinese companies raised $12 billion through IPOs in the US this year. Now, with Trump signing a bill that might see some of these stocks removed from American exchanges, is this the end of that trend? And where will China go for future offshore listings?
Well, I think they're probably going to simply stay at home. They're going to be in Hong Kong and obviously in Shanghai. And look, the Chinese government has flagged that they do want to increase the degree of foreign participation in their share markets. And I'd note that Goldman Sachs and others have moved to 100% control of their Chinese subsidiaries and not encountered any opposition from the Chinese government to do that. So I think in many ways, this is the Chinese government preparing the ground for an improvement generally in the Chinese capital markets, particularly around the areas which prompted firms to go to the US anyway. And that's really around the quality of audit and accounts. So I think we'll see some effort there to improve that, which would be very welcome from an investor standpoint.
Meanwhile, if we look at the US, the Fed has now allowed the resumption of share buybacks by large US banks. Is this a positive sign for the financial sector? And what indications does it perhaps give of about the US recovery then?
Well, certainly for investors, let's be clear. This is great for investors in US banks because, previously they were prevented from paying dividends and, as you mentioned, even participating in buybacks. So with these very low interest rates, we can expect better returns for investors in US financial stocks. But the more important question, one you posed there about what it means for the progress of the recovery, I think what it flags is those gigantic interventions of the US Federal Reserve in corporate credit markets have really meant that US banks have not experienced anything like the bad debts that might otherwise have been expected. They'll still come in the SME sector, so we need to watch that space. But as far as the mainstream of large US corporates are concerned, the US banks are in rude health, and now I think investors can expect to earn good returns in US financials.
And let's shift our attention to where you are, Australia, because the Australian share market near 10-month high. The iron ore miners like BHP and Rio Tinto have done really well. Now, how broad has this recovery been in the materials sector? And is this the start of a commodity supercycle?
Well, you know, that's the big question for all Australians. I mean, you know, we do have at least one commodity that we can sell to China, and that's iron ore. It's in big demand. So, look, I think, though, that it's fair to say that this commodities situation now is panning out into, a replay of the supercycle from earlier days. That is driven largely by real estate and infrastructure investment in China and the developing world. China, of course, has had their much publicized Belt and Road program. But even in China, they're starting to wind that back because there's a lot of issues with debt repayment and debt servicing. So I think that you're going to see the Chinese government really double down on their own domestic infrastructure and commodities demand. So that's great for iron ore. But let's be honest, it's also great for copper because with the electrification of vehicles, we're seeing copper make new highs. And there's a whole raft of new commodities we're familiar with now, like lithium, that are going to have a second wind. And Australia is a great place to participate in that. But we'd also mentioned, you know, even Canada, North America, Latin America and so on, Africa, they're all rich in commodities.
And following from that, you know, what is your Australian equity market strategy for 2021 then?
Well, it's to do better than we did this year. You know, we had a lot of difficulties, like many investors, in that we were actually, you know, blindsided a little bit by the degree of central bank intervention. And here I would say that the experience of having lived through former recessions, as I have done and many other of my vintage, really hasn't helped us at all to perform in this market. So we're hoping that next year, you know, we can recalibrate and get with the program in delivering returns for our investors. And a lot of that has to do with things you mentioned. It's stuff like recovering auto markets globally. It has to do with continued strength in semiconductors, which we're all aware with the 5G rollout. The pattern of that's changing now. So not only is it the US, it's also Japan and Taiwan and South Korea and even Europe. And then finally, I think it's these other areas of commodities like copper market and technical innovations in battery technology that Mr. Musk is driving. But he now has competitors in BMW and Toyota and also, Mercedes-Benz. So I think it's going to be a great time for investors to have a second look at areas that might previously have been neglected.
But would you still avoid certain sectors, let's say like the financial sector in Australia, which of course has been a popular or a favourite of, especially of the superannuation funds?
Well, there's been a lot of issues there. So the Australian financial sector, as you indicated, it's been struggling with the traditional big four retail banks, you know, possibly with the exception of the Commonwealth Bank, which is, you know, always seems to be in a class of its own in terms of share price performance. But everybody else has really been laboring with these difficulties of the Royal Commission, the fallout on financial advice and so on, and then trying to get their business models recalibrated to digital. But we're not real skeptics on that. I think there's been a long time building for this turnaround. And now with the Australian property market on fire because of low interest rates and a comparatively okay coronavirus situation, I think we might see the Australian retail banks start to perform. We're not overweight. We're still a little bit underweight. But I wouldn't be calling them massive underweight at this stage because I do think that their ability to repay dividends will be restored shortly.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. We'll catch up with you in the new year, Kingsley. Roshan, what were your key takeaways?
I paid attention to one of the first things he said, right, that how this has played out with the US moving against a lot of these companies, like prominent chip maker SMIC, is just going to make China double down on their made in China 2025, right? Because one of the things that China doesn't have right now is either the 5 or 7 nanometer production facility. They can't build those microchips right now. And because of that, they still depend on the US. And they want to change that, right? And if they can achieve that 2025, and 2025 is 5 years away. So let's see how they play out, how they double down on this plan, what's in store for SMIC going forward. These are all things to pay attention to. And when you asked him about what this means for foreign listings of Chinese companies, they said they're just going to stay at home. They're going to be under stay-at-home orders for a while.
Yeah, and it's going to benefit Hong Kong and Shanghai stock exchanges, clearly so. And I think he gives an interesting evidence of that, which is that Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan, they bought out 100% of their Chinese entities in China, indicating that, you know, it's going to be a very robust capital markets. And so the Chinese are signaling, hey, who says these markets are not open to foreigners? They are, you know, please, our capital markets are going to be, you know, competitors to the US for sure. But I think I also liked what he said about his own market in Australia, which is the banks, which is so, has been so unloved this year and even the previous year because of some financial scandals and also fines, might be things to, might be a sector to relook at whether we're going to see that rotational flow again, especially if they are going to pay dividends and if there's an improvement in the property market.
And don't forget the commodities, right? So we often think about iron ore when we talk about Australia, but they also have copper. But there's also, I think, one of the things that people are going to be paying more attention to is lithium. Lithium-ion batteries are a big thing now, especially in EVs, are going to be an even bigger thing going forward. And as you so rightly pointed out, it's not just Tesla that's producing these cars. Mercedes-Benz, BMW, all of them have gone into electrification and putting batteries in their cars, bigger batteries. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch, not just for Australia, but for countries like Canada as well that do a lot of this mining and some of the South American countries.
Yeah.
He named a few, but I just can't remember them right now.
But other important news that has just come out is that apparently US lawmakers are moving closer to a deal on this $900 billion economic relief package ahead of a Sunday night funding deadline after striking a late night compromise over Republican demands to curb the Federal Reserve's crisis lending powers. Now, this deal would be the second largest economic relief package in US, trailing only the $2.2 trillion CARE Act, which was passed in March. Now, lawmakers were hopeful the final text could be voted on later on Sunday, but cautioned that there was still more work to be done. Issues that remained ranged from direct payments to cash-strapped Americans to an increased funding for food stamps program. Now, I think this stimulus package, markets have been waiting for it. If it fails, you'll be extremely disappointed. That's why we see actually the US markets heading into such strong positive territory for 2020, despite a COVID-19 crisis. But as usual, we're all holding our breaths. Let's see whether something will be done. But up next, we'll be speaking to Sarina Che Omar, Senior Research Associate at Khazanah Research Institute, on the needs of Malaysia's agriculture industry. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.